It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
To the RuPaul's Drag Race recap show for season 5, episode 7, titled RuPaul Roast. My name is Joe Batanz, and I am joined, as always, by one hubristic co-host. From the podcast pod is my co-pilot. Please say,
will you please shut the fuck up with your no drag knowledge now?
To Taylor, the latte boy.
It tracks. It really does. It tracks.
Now, now this has become a little game, because you will tell me, and I believe it's honestly, that you've guessed which one I would pick. Was that the one you guessed?
No.
I would... Oh, what did you guess?
No,
it would be?
There was... Actually, you know what? Last night, I don't know that I actually picked one. I think... I just assumed you were going to pick my least favorite quote of all time that was in this episode last night.
Oh, I don't know. Oh. You know, gay people get to choose our family?
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah. No. The one I was going to do initially was, hello, hello, girl, you look like the black Pee Wee Herman. Right? But
that might have been problematic.
Why? Oh, guys, everyone needs to know. I was talking to Taylor before the show. Taylor, where did you have lunch today?
Oh, come on. I had buffalo wings from a place called Salem's.
Now, I never heard of this Salem's.
Euros and subs.
What do they sell?
Euros and subs.
Now, you know, it's so funny that you say that. I have this out-of-town guest, Carlo, from Germany. And the other day I said a euro. Carlo does this all the time, by the way. We're all say something... a foreign word. He'll go, I don't know what you're talking. He'll go, oh, wait a minute, a gyro? And I'm like, oh, come on. You know what fucking word I was trying to say. He's done that several times already, right?
Yeah.
And so they sell gyros and subs, but you bought hot wings there.
They had hot wings, and they have burgers, and they have, like, gizzards, and they have clams.
Have you ever had gizzards?
Like fried clams? No. No, not on purpose. I've never had gizzards.
What do you mean not on purpose?
Well, okay, because we make a thing here that I've talked about on my show called Chicken Bog.
Yeah.
And my ex used to put in, like, everything when you got the whole chicken fryer. And I think there were gizzards in there that he would, like kind of just mush up and everything. And I was none the wiser, so I ate them without realizing it.
Babalu is Cuban, correct?
He is Cuban.
Do the Cubans have any sort of weird, gross food that you're like, I won't eat that?
Black beans.
Wait, you don't like black beans?
No, I do not like black. I don't like any kind of beans.
Oh, okay. Wait.
In fact, that was a point of contention the first time I went down to visit his family because we had, like, the beautiful, you know, like the pork shoulder and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just put some rice on my plate, and his mom, like, went to put black beans on my, and I went, no, thank you. And then she said something to Babalu in Spanish. And then he said something back, and then she looked at me and went, no black beans? Like that. So that's become a thing every time I go down there. That's the one place that I will eat black beans, is down at my mother-in-law's house, because I'm slightly afraid of her.
Okay. So here's the thing. I'm with you, actually. As a Mexican, it's very shocking to people. I don't like pinto beans. But I do like black beans. But my parents won't eat black beans for the simple reason because they're black. Okay. My dad especially is super into colors. And his food. Like I told you, I think he is on the spectrum. Okay. And I'm not being funny, but they are in the other room, so I have to be careful. But I think he's on the spectrum. Okay.
And
I
have both of them?
No, just my dad. In fact, today, okay, listen to this. Okay, I'm gonna whisper here.
I don't know why I'm leaning into the microphone because I have headphones on, but it's okay.
Okay. So in fact, I'm gonna whisper, but I'm gonna turn the gain up a little bit just so I can whisper even less softer. So today, They're like, we're going to go to, okay, the actual, you have this chain in Florida Corner Market. Is that what it's called? I might have made up that name, too, which is funny. I'm making up my parents make up a name. He called it Country Kitchen. No, no,
yeah,
but it's not called Country Kitchen. And so I was like, oh, where are we going? And it was like, I think I even got the name wrong right now. I don't think it's called Corner Market.
Cracker Barrel?
No. Anyway, okay. The point is, he doesn't like their bacon because they make it too crisp. Okay?
Okay.
So then we had to go to McDonald's and buy him two side orders of sausage patties that he could take.
No.
Yeah. That he could take in with him to Corner Market, I think it's called. It's only old people who just sit at tables, right? And
yeah.
And so we had to go do that. So I go, oh, well, you're going to McDonald's? Get me, because this is what I need. This is the only coffee that doesn't make me sick. Get me a medium sugar-free iced coffee vanilla latte with add two Splenda. And my dad doesn't like talking to, like, McDonald's people. He, like, if he has to, he'll, like, fumble. Can't talk, right? Mm-hmm. So he goes, you know, since you know what you want, why don't you order at the drive-thru? So then he pulled forward, and I had to order for him because he doesn't like talking to people. And I feel that's very autistic. And we have trouble communicating with other people.
Okay, but the way that you present your dad on, like, catching up and when you do the accent, which I love, by the way. Why am I whispering? I don't understand why I'm whispering.
I don't know.
But he definitely has an accent.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's self-conscious of his accent?
No, he doesn't. It's funny you say that because he called me on my car, on the phone. It came to my car. And Carlo was like, your dad doesn't have an accent at all. Why do you put an accent on him? And I go, in my head, he does. Carly goes, he has no accent whatsoever. And people have said that before. He has no accent.
I just want to meet your parents one day.
Well, you can meet them. Carlo wanted to meet them. And I was like, no, because, you know, Carlo's 23.
Uh-huh.
And I know they would be like,
and they know you.
Yeah. And they'd be very side eye. Okay. So, in fact, today they asked
how old. We're going to go up and work on social studies homework. We'll be down in a little bit.
So today they asked how old he was, and I said he was in his early 30s. And they were like, oh, okay. But he doesn't look in his early 30s, and he's not in his early 30s, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So lied. You told a lie.
I lied. Right. But you, big old queen, you know, emphasis on the old. Like me, my age. I'm like, oh, yeah, you can meet that. Yeah, meet Taylor. I don't care. Hang on. Stay here.
Oh, thank God. He's got a gray beard. Yeah. Okay. This one's fine.
In fact, speaking of Carlo, the other day, I was showing Carlo around. But of course, and this always happens when people come in from out of town. But it was literally raining cats and dogs on one of the days we were supposed to drive all over.
Literally. It was literally raining animals from the sky.
Yeah, animals were raining from the sky. Gross, because they would splatter on the floor. And
I was
going
to say, what does that do to the hood of your car?
It's awful. It's all dinged in and everything. So anyway, I wanted to show him this. We were driving by UCLA, and there's this beautiful building at UCLA that everyone would know called Royce Hall. Because it's always like, because it's in Los Angeles and they need, like, oh, we need a college, you know, a place that looks like a college building. You know, it's, but so many TV shows and movies have used it as the quintessential college building, you know?
Okay.
It's like, oh,
pull up
Royce Hall, UCLA, you'll see. You. I go, I've seen this before, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
R-O-Y-C-E?
R-O-Y-C-E, yeah. And it's literally in a million movies and TV shows and everything like that. So it ads for being in college, you know, just like, oh, like college sweatshirt ad, anything, right? Just because it's in LA and it looks just like a college building. It's like, oh, we're here, you know, because we had to wait for something. So,
Yeah, I've seen this building a million times.
Yeah. So, but when we find parking right in front because it's raining cats and dogs and it's the weekend.
Meow.
But we can't, it's a building that's outdoors. And so, it happened to be that as we're pulling up, Taylor the Latte Boy was returning my phone call. Or did I call you?
I'm not 100% sure.
One of the two things happened, right? And so since it's really raining really hard, I feel you called me because I remember when you called, I was lost a little bit in the campus. I don't think I'd called you while I was lost.
Okay.
Anyway, so, but you were returning my call for sure. And everybody knows I have to say that because Taylor doesn't want to be known that he calls me. Okay. Anyway.
That's part of my contract. Yeah. It's good that you.
So it's pouring rain. And I, mm-hmm. and as I'm talking to Taylor and I are talking, we're talking about, you know, it's basically, it sounds like this, essentially, you know, what we're doing now. And we're just shooting the shit. Cause I haven't talked to my friend Taylor in days, maybe a week. You know, it's been a long time. And so I parked.
I know what we were talking about.
Oh, I know what we were talking about. We'll get to it in a second. Okay. So, now it's pouring rain, but I find parking in front of Royce Hall. So I'm figuring, and I also have this app called Dark Sky. Do you have Dark Sky, Taylor?
No, I don't.
It's a great weather app. It's fantastic. It'll even tell you rain will stop in 10 minutes. And it's strangely, I wouldn't say it's on the minute, but it's strangely accurate, more accurate than you would think in a weather app. But it'll say, you'll get an alert. It goes on your phone. It'll say, drizzle starting in 4 minutes, and you're like,
oh, I have something like that. Yeah. I have a my Weather Plus, I think. Is
okay. So I knew that the rain wasn't going to last for much longer. So we're sitting there shooting the shit, and sure enough, as Taylor and I are talking, the rain stops. And I want to say 2 or 3 minutes after this rain stops, I can wait. In fact, I even comment, Carlos playing Doodle Jump on his phone. He's not into this at all.
Yeah. Even though it is, I'm on a speakerphone.
Yeah.
He's getting his own private Drag Race recap episode.
Yeah, which is funny because, you know, he and I had,
Jesus Christ, what the fuck was that?
What is it?
My Siri just kicked on. It scared the shit out of me.
What did you say?
Whatever I just said to you. I'm charging it and all of a sudden it's something came up and it scared the, I apologize.
Well,
I'd like to think you're going to edit that out, but I know you're not going to.
No, I'm not going to. That happened with my Alexa. I've actually changed the name from Alexa to C-O-M-P-U-T-E-R because if I say Alexa, a million devices will. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. This Alexa thing is out of control. Mm-hmm. I already have two Alexas, Dots.
Mm-hmm.
At no cost to me. I've never paid for what I'm going to show you right now for both of these things. I have another, it's still in the box, Echo Dot, and a Google Home Mini. Still in the box. They've just gotten them for free.
From who?
This one, because I bought a television on Black Friday.
Okay.
That's where the Echo Dot came from.
Right.
This one is sort of my fault. I saw on one of those like deals ads that there was some sort of promotion that if you had Spotify Premium, if you just had it,
yeah.
you were entitled to a free Google Home Mini.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, well, if I'm entitled, I'm going to fucking get it, right? I've had this for about 3 months and now we opened it. The plastic's still on.
You should just say, instead of the word that you just said, mm-hmm. you should just say surveillance.
Oh, I know. Well, you can only choose one of four names. But I really would. But if I say that word, or if I even go, you'll see the little light go on.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the point is that we're sitting there. Taylor and I are talking about Bon Appetit. Test the videos, right?
Right.
And about a few minutes in, after the rain stops, did you hear Carlo say this? Carlo goes, okay, can we just do this later?
I heard him say something like that. I had a hard time hearing him uh-huh. compared to you.
Yeah.
So there were a couple of times that he said something to me and I just kind of did the, okay, because I had no idea what he said.
Well, he's very soft-spoken. I couldn't hear him. First of all, I'm very loud and he...
Yeah.
His voice is very thin, and so everyone that we've talked on speakerphone cannot hear a word he's saying. And he's trying, he's like, you can see him like trying to scream. He's like, I said that I'm not going to that restaurant. And they're like, we can't hear you. So anyway, yeah.
Stop whispering.
And I was like, at that moment, I was like, oh. Well, excuse me, Taylor, I have to go because someone needs to go. Which, by the way, we're sitting right in front of it. He could have just, on his own 2 feet, walked over and looked at it. Why does he need me? I told him what it was already.
Well, maybe he was nervous. Why does your father not want to talk to the drive-thru people?
Because he's autistic. Okay. And the other thing is he could have also just done the thing. Now, maybe this is a cultural thing. Maybe they don't do this in Germany. It's just gone like a little nudge and like the fingers across the throat like, hey, wrap this up.
Okay, but I think even that would be, And you and I were having a conversation. And again, like I said, he was getting his own private episode.
Yeah. Well, what's and, funny is he maybe he just doesn't like you, Taylor, because later we met up with Lori, not that mm-hmm. day, but like on another day, Lori and AfterBuzz TV's Jay Ellis. And Lori was just, I'm not even joking. I know because we were just talking about this earlier. Lori was in full. And he was
Hey, just... Carlo, did you fly here on a plane? How was that airplane food? Let me tell you all about this airplane.
We talk about it. It's already been released, but because you guys are getting this months later. But we Lori and I get into this. But Carlo was like hand on fist, so enthralled that he's like, and at the end he goes, I got to get my own podcast episode. You know?
Oh. So,
yeah, I know. Well, maybe. Oh. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he just
Noted.
Wasn't amused by
all right.
I think because we were talking about Bon Appetit.
But we talk about Bon Appetit on here.
People probably in their cars want to do the same thing. All right. This week, the light.
I want to go flying off the side of the road.
Like, oh, my God. Enough about Andy and Claire and Chris Morocco, who I still want to have sex with so badly.
Hey, he mentioned his wife's name on the latest episode.
Steve?
No, apparently his wife's name, I guess, is Amber.
Oh, interesting.
The episode where he makes the chocolate cake and he's talking about coming home and his wife. And the kids were like, everything was a mess. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that he was talking to Brad Leone about it. And I was just, it was very weird.
You know what we're going to do, Taylor? Just to stop this, we're going to have to do a Bon Appetit, like, monthly recap show.
I'd consider that.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to seeing the contract.
All right. This week, the library is open as the season 5 girls take a crack at reading each other for filth. Ivy Winters is too nice. Alyssa is too extra. Jinx and Roxy lay the foundation for their battle of the season. Jinx is supposedly narcoleptic. Roxy Andrews reveals she was left at a bus stop, and the girls all participate in the roast of RuPaul Charles. Alaska, Jinx, and Coco perform well while Ivy, Alyssa, and Roxy struggle to get any laughs. In the end, Coco is named the winner of the challenge, while Alyssa Edwards and Roxy Andrews are forced to go head-to-head. In a lip sync battle for their lives. In the end, Roxy's tearful confession awakens the icy heart of RuPaul, and both girls are told, Shantae, you stay. Taylor the Latte Boy named two things you liked about the episode and one thing you did not.
This might have been one of my favorite episodes of the season so far.
Yeah. Well,
it's a great episode.
It is. I was thinking about it later. It is. Just a classic, perfect, iconic episode of the series. I mean,
talked briefly that like Untucked even amplifies that.
Yeah. You know, Taylor was like, because Taylor tells me whether I should watch Untucked or not. And he had said, you better watch Untucked. So I watched it after I took notes and stuff. And I was like, holy shit. There's just so much to unpack with Untucked that, that would be a good name for an Untucked recap show. Unpacked.
Unpacking Untucked.
Yeah. But, there's so much to unpack with this episode I'm talking about. You could do a whole episode on just that Untucked episode.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so what are the two things about the episode? One thing you didn't, Taylor.
One thing that I really liked was I love the roast episodes.
Okay.
Because they're either really funny or they're really not.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was the people that were strong were very strong, and the people that were like painful to watch. Something else that I liked. I think some of the reads in the reading challenge were actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Some of the early ones were pretty good. I kind of disagree with who won, but and the thing that I liked least about this is the moment I've been and now it's over, so I can enjoy the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. The moment my least favorite, probably one of my least favorite moments of all of Drag Race, and that's the fake RuPaul crying. Over Roxy's admission of the being left at a bus stop.
Yeah.
It just comes off as so manufactured and so trying to be empathic. And it didn't add to her brand, I don't think, the way that she wanted it to.
I have a lot to say. You know, I will say Untucked. This episode of Untucked, which, by the way, if you're watching this, hopefully by the time you still hear this, it's still available on Hulu. I can't see why it wouldn't be. I say often, even when Untucked is good, It often rarely has any sort of impact on understanding the main episode. But yeah. I feel this episode is of Untucked is so integral. In fact, I want to say this might be the first time I've ever seen this Untucked, because there were assumptions I've always had about this episode that sort of changed because of this episode of Untucked.
Like, I would completely agree with
that. I always assumed Roxy just burst out with that confession.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And
yes,
then it came out of
nowhere.
I know
exactly where you're going with this. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was in her head.
Yeah.
She had gotten talking about it, and it was in her head, and it fucked with her while she was doing that lip sync.
Yeah. And also, what else did I think about on there? There were some other things that I was like, this really, really informed. Oh, I know what one of them was, and we can talk about this when we get to Untucked. Was... there's a lot... God, it has to do with Jinx and Roxy. But there are elements... A, that I kind of makes me look at the Jinx and Roxy thing a little differently in that, like, because Roxy has said this, she didn't say it now, but in interviews immediately afterwards, she was like, Jinx is pulling a fast one on you guys. She's not the person you think she is on the show. And they kind of hint at that when she and Coco are having that conversation, you know, and to the point where I kind of get it. I don't know why you need to sort of bully Jinx, but I can get how that would be annoying, where when the camera's on, the person's like, well, I don't know, you know, like this play, and then like they completely know, because they even say she can win this competition. What's annoying, I never knew that before. What's annoying Roxy, and let's say we'll throw Coco in the mix, is they acknowledge that Jinx is very, very strong.
Yeah.
But that's what bothers them, is that she pretends like she isn't, which I don't think we ever get that in the main show. I don't think there's that acknowledgement. The other thing is, I was actually really surprised from a psychological point of view, because the Roxy admission on Untucked about the bus stop comes out of Jinx's admission about her alcoholic mother.
Right.
And I would think there would be a sort of bonding over that.
Oh my God. It's like you and I are sharing a brain right now. Yeah.
So that
there seems to be very little that could have been a moment for connection between the two of them. And it's not really, if anything, it's Alyssa that seems to be the one that is supporting both Jinx and Roxy in that moment.
Yeah. But we're doing Untucked right now. So, okay. So you did your two things. Two things I liked about the episode. I also love the roast. I also think that the reading, I guess my number two thing will be that the reading challenge, you know, having seen that now that we have a totality of like 11 reading challenges, not including All Stars, but this is actually a very strong reading challenge across the board. Even people like Coco and Alyssa Baum on All Stars 2 went in a comical way, which makes me think, how come they couldn't read these girls on All Stars 2? Because it's, I don't know when it ends, but it's a very classic. It's the way the reading challenge should be. It's everybody across the board, even if they fail, is trying to do a classic read, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know why the show, that'd be very interesting to see when and why the show changes. And they don't do that anymore. Do
you think that it's, I mean, there's only so many of those jokes that you can go through.
Yeah, but okay. Well, again, we're jumping the gun here, because we'll talk about it during the reading challenge. And then the thing I did not like, there are more, and this includes Untucked, and there might be more things I don't like about this episode, but it might be Untucked and the episode. The choppy, manipulative editing is worse than usual.
Okay.
Like, there's a lot of crazy, choppy editing that occurs in this episode, where you're like, that's, you can tell, like, wow, and I don't need to be an editing expert. You can tell, like, that's not exactly what happened in that scene.
Yeah.
Anybody with half a brain would be like, no, that this is not what happened. They totally manufactured this. You know, I had a question. I didn't go back and research this. I didn't do anything. But I do know they're known to move moments around episodes, like especially Elimination Day moments. So it might be in another episode, but they put it in a different episode. But it seemed to me, and I haven't gone back to double, triple check this, it seemed to me that the way they were doing, Alyssa and Coco were doing their makeup, it seemed like that's what, when the girl, look how orange you look, really happened.
Yeah.
It's the same seating position, the same makeup. I don't look at their outfits, though. I have to go look at the outfits. And it would make sense because in the elimination day, they're all kind of ha 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 reading each other at the mirror, as if a producer said, why don't you guys read each other? Which is what happens when Alyssa and Coco, they're kind of reading each other like you would for a roast.
Right.
And then Coco takes it to the next level.
You know? I'm not joking, bitch.
I'm not joking, bitch. Yeah. I didn't actually have that quote. You know?
I was going to say that when your parents come running in, thinking they're doing fighting.
Oh, shouldn't do that. Oh, God. Don't do why that. Did I just do that? Everything's okay. Right?
Favorite Joe Batan story ever. Uh-huh. I have never laughed as hard as I did that day that we were on the phone and that happened. That is possibly the funniest thing that I've ever gotten to witness without witnessing it.
I'm not joking, bitch.
All right. You. After Jade's elimination, Coco is relieved that she was safe, but shaken by the fact that she was so close to elimination. Ivy Winters is congratulated on her win. Roxy is starting to get annoyed with Jinx, and Alaska is frustrated because she has yet to win a challenge. The next day, Alaska separates from herself from Rulaska Talks just before RuPaul enters the workroom to announce this week's mini challenge.
Ladies, in the great tradition of Paris is Burning, get ready to visit the library, darling. Ah! Because reading is what?
Fundamental.
That's right.
The girls read each other for filth, but it was Alaska who took the challenge as the winner. Taylor, now we can talk about this reading challenge. Like I was saying earlier, you had said earlier in the conversation when I cut you off that, you know, maybe it's changed because they've used all the jokes, but Alaska does that joke. This is season 5. It might be the first time, but she does a joke where she's like, oh, Rue, I can't. Okay. Well, Alyssa, which they still do. And you're like, oh, bitch, we're still doing this, you know? Yeah. So I don't know if it's that. I don't know what it is. I almost wonder.
But is she the first one that did that?
I don't know if she's the first one that did it, but this is season 5 and they're still doing it at season 11.
What was the, okay, well, I guess they've been doing readings since season 2.
Yeah. And they did it on Drag Race UK. I think Cheryl Hole did it on Drag Race UK.
Yeah.
Now, everyone, I know this is airing after season 12. I haven't seen season 12. I haven't seen All Stars 5. So I don't know if it's happened by then, but yeah. Hmm. But anyway, So what were your thoughts on this reading challenge?
Well, I think, okay, if we can go back a couple of seconds before that, I think that your statement about the editing is very apparent when they're talking about where it's Rulaska Talks, but Alaska comes in and says Alaska. The looks on Detox's and Roxy's face clearly are taken from other things, and the level of annoyance and the level of things going on seem like they are probably directed at other girls. Mm-hmm. I agree with you that I felt this feels really manufactured, where they're just taking clips and putting them together to make it more dramatic than it is.
Yeah.
I had written down the idea of the topic of clicks because it was in Alaska's head, and I didn't know if you wanted to explore that or not.
We can. I should warn you that in high school, and other places too, this is something that's followed me for many years, and I have to just fess up. I've been accused of creating or being part of cliques. I don't see it that way, but I mean, this is something that even with disparate groups of people have said, you know, my group of friends, even though they're different, are very cliquey. And I don't see it that way, but I guess I am. So now we're never as blatant as Rulaska Talks.
Right.
We don't ever like, hi, even though in high school, my group of friends and I, Mercedes, Liz, a couple other girls, we were called the clique and we owned that title.
Yeah. Well, you almost wear, especially then, you almost wear it as a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I want to hear about it.
My group of friends when I was growing up, we weren't necessarily a clique. I mean, we were all close-knit, but I don't know that you would call us a clique per se. Mm-hmm. When I got to be older, I definitely got cliquey. At work, I was very cliquey, and I became one of the mean girls for a while.
Yeah.
But I think that that also was, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we've talked about my experiences with bullying, and while I didn't become a bully, it was kind of fun to be able to take the piss out of somebody, and you. But I also think that the difference is, you know, there was an even playing field to some. No, that's not true, because there were people that I thought I was better than at previous jobs that I've been at.
Yeah.
You know, when you just sort of have that where you almost look to get with your other friends and just kind of talk shit about somebody. I had a couple of people that I used to work with that we all couldn't stand our supervisor, and we used to talk shit about her, like to her face. I mean, it was bad, but it's you kind of miss that clickiness sometimes.
Well, you know what's funny is I kind of feel here at Afterthought, and we're not even that big. I feel there are a couple of cliques. I feel that there's the Joe, Lori, Taylor clique, and then I feel like Evan's sort of developed his own clique with the rumor mill.
I appreciate you saying that I'm part of the clique. There's times that I think it's really Joe and Lori clique.
It is, but and you I just kind of you were here, so I didn't want to make you feel bad.
Okay, all right. Just there's part of me that I'm like, well, that's really nice to say, but then there's part of me I'm like, that's not true. But okay, that's at least I know that my perception are accurate. Then
it is sort of interesting to me. I feel like the rumor mill is sort of a click, and that when I went in one time to sub for Evan, I felt it. It felt very like, and now that was a different dynamic where like daddy's in the room, and so we're gonna act weird and different. But
especially because you made them all call you daddy.
Yeah, and also that I was wearing, I couldn't think of a joke in time. I'm not gonna even try and bother.
You made Evan place your order for you through the drive-thru.
Yeah, Evan has his own little weird clique over at in the rumor mill. And I think it's just maybe – now you're the mental health professional. Is it just a natural thing for human beings to want to be in cliques?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that it's want to be in cliques. I think it's that people want to be in a tribe. Mm-hmm. People want to feel a sense of belonging. And when you find people with similar interests, similar styles of communication, similar sense of humor – and you have that of where there's – everybody wants to be part of the group, but they all want to be their own individual person. So if there's four of you that are a clique, mm-hmm. and then suddenly a fifth person comes along and they want to be a part of that, there is that feeling of people can get defensive and people can get very territorial mm-hmm. about that sort of thing. So it has to be where almost like a group has to decide, a tribe has to decide on some level if they're going to let in another member.
Yeah.
You know, and that member, that fifth member, using an example of four, has to be able to show what skills they bring to the table and what they bring to help keep the click, you know, and then it just starts over if a sixth person or a seventh person wanted to come in.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so Relaska talks, by the way, Michelle and Rue are a fucking click, you know, and she's like, oh, yeah. I don't like clicks. I'm like, oh, really, bitch? Really?
Click is what got you this job.
Yeah, exactly. The click is exactly what got her this job. All right. What about your thoughts on the reading challenge, though?
The few thoughts that I had was I don't know that Alaska was the funniest.
Yeah.
I thought the one who was the funniest actually was Detox. I felt like I laughed more at Detox's than anybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the one thing that was frustrating about the reading challenge, even though mm-hmm. I did enjoy more than others, was the Jinx, the way they edited her to be really overreacting to the jokes
mm-hmm.
with the like throwing her head back and doing the silent screams and just that it was really distracting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get that they're all kind of screaming at everything and they all think it's funny, but it seemed like hers in particular were really over the top.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a scene in a later episode where she's doing that, and it's right in the heat of all of the Jinx Roxy stuff. Mm-hmm. And Roxy looks so annoyed at her while she's doing it that mm-hmm. that becomes what I remember about whatever that challenge is.
Yeah.
So what were your thoughts?
Like I said, like it was actually a decent reading challenge. I'm looking at my list right here. And I seem to remember Jinx being pretty good at the reading challenge, too.
Jinx was good, too.
If she would have won, it wouldn't have been weird. But, yeah, Detox was pretty good. Again, like I said, across the board, even Alyssa and Coco, who, again, in All-Stars 2 are notoriously bad to the point where it's hilarious, sort of bring it in a more traditional way.
Oh, I disagree with that on Coco.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, I thought Coco was the Alyssa, my dear, how I hate it when you're near from All Stars 2,
uh-huh.
she was at about that level to me.
Oh, okay.
Where it just was a flat line.
Where Alyssa, remember in All Stars 2, Alyssa's like, Taylor, gutted.
Right.
Lori, rotted. And then it was like something like, you know, beast. That's where that comes from.
Right.
It's from that challenge. But Alaska wasn't bad. And yeah, I could see Detox winning it too. Maybe they just wanted to give Alaska a win. I'm not sure. All right. Anyway, next, RuPaul announced this week's main challenge.
Ladies, for this week's main challenge, you're going to get a chance to read me. You'll be competing in the RuPaul roast.
In the workroom, Alaska works with the girls to determine the lineup. Ivy is worried because she's not mean enough for a roast. Jinx decides she's a narcoleptic, and Alyssa is annoying everyone with how extra she is.
I can't read this last one because they're going to be like this. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, y'all, I can't do it. I'm gonna have to rewrite it. I'm gonna read y'all the beginning of mine. Tell me if it's too much. RuPaul, where should I start? With the cracked out beginning of your career or the cracking of your voice at every live performance?
Oh my gosh, y'all, mine is gonna be too much. Is that too much, Roxy?
All right, Taylor, your thoughts on everything that happened in the workroom. Alyssa was so amused with herself.
Well, but this kind of, this episode speaks to, this is a classic Alyssa Edwards episode.
This is like, because, you know, it's so funny, before you go on, we're concurrently covering season 7 with Lori Roggenkamp. Yeah. And I feel season 7, episode 7 as well, where I feel that was the episode where everyone fell in love with Katya. I think with what you're going to say, I think this is the episode where it happens for Alyssa.
Right. Well, I don't know that people fall in love with her, because I think the people that love her loved her already. Mm-hmm. But this speaks very much to this where, you know, you've used the phrase, it's RuPaul's world and we all just get to live in it. I think Alyssa thinks it's Alyssa's world and we all just get to live in it.
Yes.
The level of delusion with, and just the ridiculous over the top with her, of where she's looking around and she's clearly looking for attention. She's clearly looking that she wants to share these jokes with people, and everybody is so not into it. Mm-hmm. This is one of my favorite Detox moments, the commentary of her doing the impression of Alyssa with the and doing all that sort of stuff is very funny to me. She's crazy. So when you've got that with Alyssa, plus later on when she definitely is kind of stoking the fires between Jinx and Roxy, plus, you know, we get to see what kind of dancer Alyssa is, you know, it's just one of these where the whole thing, it just speaks to who Alyssa Edwards is. This encapsulates what Alyssa Edwards is as an entity, I think.
Yeah, I think this moment is, you know, there are several moments that you can point to that just, you know, I've said this before, as Alyssa Edwards is not really great at this competition, but she's amazing television.
Something you said on, and I believe you said it on a show with Laurie, you said that Alyssa is not necessarily a great, okay, when I say this, just hear me out, and I know that I'm paraphrasing. Alyssa is not great on her own. Alyssa is great when she's around other personalities, because she's the last one to get the joke, but she's the first one to make the joke without realizing it. And she's very much of the where she's just this force. But when you watch like the show she had on Netflix and the other show that she's got on World of Wonder Presents, you know, it's not about that. It's about just her thinking that she's like the shit and she's the biggest thing in the room, with all these other people who are justifiably can think the same thing.
Well, yeah, I think the mistake that people who produce TV shows with Alyssa is that they think she is the lead, when actually she's the funny side character. So, for instance, let's take Will and Grace. Like, Will and Grace themselves are kind of boring. They're the leads, right? Who are the funny ones? It's Karen and Jack. But if you had a Karen and Jack show or a Karen or Jack show, that wouldn't be very funny. You know, you need to see Karen and Jack interacting with Will and Grace. That's right. What makes them funny. And that's the same thing with Alyssa. You need to see her. Alyssa as the Will and or Grace as the lead of the show just isn't going to work because there has to be some sort of level of gravitas to her that she can carry it. And she doesn't have that. That's why the shows essentially fail. She needs to be interacting with people.
Well, it's sort of like when, and we talked about Alice, the TV show Alice recently.
Oh, by the way, I got alerts from everybody. As if he was my boyfriend, the guy who played Philip McKean, who played Tommy, died.
Yeah, died.
And everybody was messaging me, including saying, like, I was the widow.
Yeah. So that's only because you wear that veil when you go out. Uh-huh. So, you know, one of the most popular characters in that show was Flo.
Mm-hmm.
And Flo was in some ways the Karen Walker of Alice.
Mm-hmm.
So they eventually gave Flo her own show.
Yeah.
And it bombed. Do you remember the name of her show?
I'm going to assume it was Flo.
Oh, you know what? I think it was Flo. But what was the name? Because she bought a bar.
Oh, she did? I don't know.
Yes. And do you remember what the, you don't remember what the name of the bar is?
I've never seen one episode of Flo.
I think they didn't do very many of them, but the name of her bar was Flo's Yellow Rose.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They did the same thing with the Ropers and Three's Company. Yes. So the Ropers, for everyone listening, were these side characters. Evan? Anyone under 40?
There was a show called Three's Company.
There was a show called Three's Company, which is so funny because everyone should know they would play this Three's Company show. It was about John Ritter played Jack Tripper. And, you know, in the 70s, to live with two women was very scandalous. So he had to pretend to be gay. And that was played for laughs to no end, you know, on this Three's Company. So it's about
all he had to do was giggle and literally throw a hand over a wrist. And then everybody thought that was just so cutting edge.
And he could only live with these two girls because he was gay. And so they had these landlords, the Ropers. And I think Mrs. Roper knew he wasn't gay, correct?
Maybe.
I think she knew. I think she knew he wasn't gay. Only Mr. Roper didn't know he wasn't gay. And Mrs. Roper wore muumuu. She was played by Audra Lindley, the actress. And Mr. Roper was played by Norman Fell. And they were like really funny. They were this bickering old couple. She was oversexed.
She was oversexed. She was constantly wanting to have sex, and he wanted nothing to do with her. And he was constantly making all sorts of horrible things about how she had gotten old and was ugly.
But I will say Norman Fell from Three's Company did do this thing that I think was one of the biggest influencers on my comedy, which is weird because it's something they did on the show that was unusual. Even I think it'd be unusual now where he would make some sort of really horrible, mean comment about how ugly Mrs. Roper was. And as the audience laughed, he would break the fourth wall and look at the camera with I fucking got her.
Okay, so when I started to type in, did Mrs. Roper on Google, the third thing that comes up is, did Mrs. Roper know Jack was straight? Let's see what the answer is.
Okay, we're going to find out what the answer is right now.
He, Mrs. Roper, and Janet were all out at the Regal Beagle in the second episode. The Regal Beagle was the name of the bar they always
used to go to. The bar,
And Mrs. Roper saw Jack checking out flirting with the waitress and asked if he was really straight, and he told her he was. She promised she would never tell.
Yeah.
Okay, so she did know.
Do you think she – because so then what happens is the Ropers got super popular. The one thing I was going to say was – so the reason – you know, I would think I was even too young when the Three's Company first aired, but they re-ran the show like nobody's business on daytime TV.
Right.
Or like after school.
Yeah.
So that's how I got to know the show. Is in like when I was maybe 8 or 9, I would see the reruns, and I just thought it was funny because Jack would fall. He did a lot of pratfalls and stuff like that, right?
Right.
But when you watch, have you ever watched it later?
It's I couldn't tell you the last time I saw an episode of it, but
they're all the same episode, by the way.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
Is that a joke on Friends where he says, "Oh, is this the one where there's a big misunderstanding?"
Yeah, exactly.
While watching
Three's Company. Yeah. But it was extremely sexual. Extremely sexual, but I guess as a kid it just went over my head. So they would do the classic thing you've probably been made fun of on sitcoms, where let's say this is probably actually something that really happened, where like Jack is John Ritter and Chrissy was Suzanne Summers. They're in the bathroom trying to put up a shower rod, let's say, a shower curtain, and the doors close, and Mr. Roper would come in, and you know, you'd hear them trying to like struggle, hearing and she's like, "It's too big, it won't fit." And he's like, "Just keep pushing, you know?
Right. Just jam it in there. You just got to hit it from the side and it'll,
And then Mr. Roper would like make this like, "Oh my God." out, you know, face, and he'd barge in and be like, aha! And then he'd see them putting on the shower curtain. Anyway, it was always that. The point is that the Ropers got super popular, so they got their own sitcom, and it bombed.
I think it lasted 2 seasons.
Yeah, it called The Ropers. I don't know how we got on this. Oh, Alyssa Edwards. Yeah. She's essentially the Ropers or Karen Walker or Flo of the show. All right. Anyway.
Only you and I could go from talking about Alyssa Edwards to the Ropers in like the course of about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
This is the high quality content that people keep coming back.
Well, I feel that if you had a good old your co-host on Pod is my co-pilot, Rodan, he could you know, swim with us.
Only if it was that we talked about stuff from the 90s.
Things like he doesn't know Three's Company?
No, I'm sure he knows what Three's Company is, but I mean, he doesn't quite have the level of knowledge of like 70s and 80s pop culture that I do.
Uh-huh.
Whereas like in the 90s, if you ask him any question about the 90s, he can answer
that. Yeah, I just assume because he and I are like the same age. So.
Yeah, but he, they kind of grew up not having a lot. So I don't know that he necessarily had, you know, like a TV.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I'm sure he had a TV. He would hit me in the face right now for saying that like that. But I mean, I think he had other things going on in his world that he wasn't necessarily worried about catching the latest Three's Company rerun.
How's he looking, by the way? Everyone should know Rodan had some sort of what is the exact procedure he had done?
He had a gastric bypass sleeve done in October of 18. He looks great.
He lost a ton of weight.
He's lost well over 100 pounds. I think he had lost about 130 pounds.
And is he where he wants to be?
No. He probably could have lost maybe about 30 to 40 more. Mm-hmm. But he enjoys his Jack and Cokes at night. That has prevented him from losing all the weight that he wants to. And it was so long ago now at this point, he's plateaued. So he's not going to lose any more unless he starts like actually exercising and doing things. Okay. So he never got to the melted candle phase that you see people sometimes that have that surgery.
You know, almost like the aspirational people who think, well, I'm going to vote Republican because one day I'll be rich and I'm going to pay low taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with me. I have this feeling one day I will be thin and these problems will happen. And I'm worried about sort of like the droopy, you know, like the skin hanging down, maybe like the flappy necks. And has he had any of that stuff?
No.
Oh, really?
No, we saw him a couple weeks ago, probably a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, I definitely, you know, we were all sharing a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all in various stages of undress around each other. And he never looked super droopy, you know, like he didn't look like somebody had let all the air out of him.
Okay. All right. Very good.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right. I got to get something off my chest. By the time I finish watching RuPaul's Drag Race 2 times, recording 2 different shows about it, and spending my entire week around RuPaul's Drag Race, the last thing I want to do is listen to other podcasts about RuPaul's Drag Race. But people are constantly saying, do you listen to this podcast or that podcast? And I'll be honest with you, I don't, because I barely have time to record the one that I do. And this sits on me, on my chest. So I have to get it off my chest because I'm like, is this hindering my growth as a creator? So I'm glad I told you guys this so you guys can stop recommending shows or asking me if I listen to Race Chaser or Sibling Rivalry. We all carry around different stressors, by the way, big, small, serious, silly. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest. Can you imagine if I went to therapy with this? And to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I have benefited tremendously from therapy, tremendously. And it's a way for me to work out different problems that I've had. And I've shared those problems with you before. If you have stressors in your life, you need to talk them out. That's how you release the toxicity, is by talking it out. And therapy can help do that. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. When they designed it to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you got to do is just fill out a brief questionnaire and they'll match you with a licensed therapist. And by the way, if you don't like your therapist, you can just switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragrace. All right, because it was the roast of RuPaul, who better to deliver the table visits than Michelle Visage? Alaska's told that she shouldn't have placed herself first. Roxy is known for being a bitch, so she's not nervous. IE finds it hard to write insult jokes. Coco's going to be RuPaul's cousin, and Alyssa doesn't know the difference between a read and a joke. Your thoughts here on the table visits, Taylor?
Well, the question that I had, mm-hmm. I had two things that came up. One was, what does going first have to do with somebody going down?
Because
she says at one point, she goes, you know, because she asks Alaska when Alaska's, I'm going to go first. And she goes, well, somebody's got to go down, you know, in flames.
Yeah.
So I don't know why that was a very odd. It felt like they said to her mm-hmm. kind of like, you know, I know RuPaul's job is to kind of like, you know, shake them up a little bit. But she's not as nuanced with that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she said something that just when she said that, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
That being said, I thought she looked beautiful.
Mm hmm.
I thought she looked really, really pretty. She's very Jersey pretty, which I mean that as a compliment. As somebody who grew up in New Jersey, mm-hmm. she definitely had that kind of vibe to her. And I have one other thought about that section, but I want to give you a chance to say something first.
Yeah, this is something, you know, so I got kind of lucky on this episode because I was short on time. And I've actually covered this episode before with Evan in a series we did on Patreon called Reflections.
Okay.
So I already had a version of this script written. I just had to go in there and edit it and change it and just sort of polish it up. And I remember on Reflections, I did a huge rant about this, which is, so the rule, what Michelle's talking about, and this comes up in later seasons too, is when you're doing a standard issue comedy show, yes, the earlier you go up, the harder it is. So the host, with the term taking the bullet, takes the bullet up top because he or she is the host, is now at a comedy club, people are coming in, they're looking at the menus, they're ordering their drinks, they're not quite liquored up. You know, they're like, oh my God, we're here. And blah, blah, blah. It's just a different energy. And so what the host is doing at the top of the show is, yeah, the host isn't going to do as well. Because everyone's just not in the right mindset for a comedy show. And so the mm-hmm. host is meant essentially to have a harder position. I was going to say it's going to bomb on purpose. It's not true. There are many hosts. That's how they get good is, yeah. And they're actually like, I actually liked hosting. You know, mm-hmm. I was a host for, I would say that was the highest I ever got in a comedy was as a host, but a very good host.
Is there something about that it takes some of the pressure off because you don't have to completely kill it? You recognize going in, I'm not going to kill it first out of the chamber, mm-hmm. but I'm going to get them riled up. I'm going to pull the proverbial cord on the lawnmower, sort of thing.
Yes, exactly. But also it makes you good because people, there's actually a wonderful picture out there that I don't have, but someone sent it to me and I've lost it. When I used to work at this comedy, it wasn't a comedy club, when I was just a host of a show at Barney's Beanery. Mm-hmm. Barney's Beanery, the comedy part of it, it wasn't a comedy club, it was a place where you put pool and drink beer. But on the third floor of Barney's Beanery, in the back patio, that's where we would do the comedy show at 9:30. And at 9:30, time to start the show, there's no one out there. Zero people, right? But if they've heard a voice talking, then people would be like, what is this? What's going on? Why do I hear a voice? And they'd invent it. So it was my job to essentially bring the room. Uh-huh. So I would go up on stage and there would be literally zero people in the room. Zero. Not, I would be the only person in the room and I would start doing comedy. And a friend of mine, Patrick Key, took a picture of me doing stand up to zero people in the room. And it makes you good. But the same thing with being a host is the people just aren't ready. So you have to be, if you're not going to bomb, you have to be that much better Does that make sense? It's yeah. also a fine line, though, because the headliner doesn't want you to be better than he or she is. You can't get too many laughs. It's a really odd line to play. Yeah. The reason I liked hosting was, so for the very reason you said, I got like 5 minutes up top, 10 minutes, depending on the show. And then I would bring on the feature or a special guest, right? But the one thing you have that no other comic has is I get to come back.
Yeah.
And so you would, especially if, so let's say for you have a job as a host. If let's say somebody goes up there, let's say the special guest goes up there and eats shit. Now it's your job to essentially bring the audience back, clear the air, make it like then the mood to laugh again, and then bring on the next comic. Or let's say the comic, you see, that's the thing is when you're a headliner, if so, it's actually bad to kill before the headliner.
Yeah.
They'll fucking lose their shit because then they feel like you've deflated the room. So as a host, it's also your job if a person kills, not necessarily to die on stage, but just start to make everyone forget what just happened so that when the headliner comes on, they're fresh again. Does that make sense? Yeah. So this is where you might make some sort of boring announcements or just do some crowd work where it's just to like, okay, that happened. You know, you can't bring someone on that just killed. So anyway.
But now was Alaska, though, wasn't necessarily the host. She definitely presented sort of in the beginning.
Yeah.
It looked like she kind of did that. But then when you think about it, it's not like she came between everybody and not a toss you salad did the one. Yeah. She didn't do that.
So this is where the show gets it wrong. Everything changes on a roast. Because if on a, like in other words, on a comedy show, there's the world is your oyster. Everyone's going to talk about different things, right? And in fact, again, to go back to the business of comedy, it's sort of the job. Usually the headliner brings the feature. It's usually if it's a famous guy, he has a person that he's chosen to be the feature. Not all the time, but it's often the case. But it's that person's job to know what the headliner is going to talk about so that he or she doesn't talk about the same thing. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, there's a whole art to the building of a comedy show, right? Just like, what are you going to talk about? Here's my set list. Okay, we can't talk about the same thing, blah, 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 blah. But on a roast, it's already known that you're going to talk about the same thing. And because you're going to talk about, for instance, it comes up in the workroom where Michelle talks to Alaska, and Alaska's, I'm going to talk about her auto-tuning, right? And then she goes on to, I think it's Roxy or Ivy, and they say, I'm going to talk about auto-tuning. And Michelle says, wow, a lot of people are talking about her auto-tuning. Like, are you sure you want to? That's the advantage. When you're doing a roast, you want to go first.
Right.
You want to go first because then you get the first crack at all the jokes about the same topics. Right? So if you remember the Comedy Central.
Makes total sense.
If you remember the Comedy Central roast, there was a guy who would always go first. He since died of a drug overdose. I can't remember his name.
Oh,
I feel like it was Greg something or other.
Greg Giraldo?
That sounds right.
Greg Giraldo.
I think it was right his name. Yeah. Right? But he was known because he was a really good comic. He was really funny. And so, because you don't want someone to go bring up those topics and fuck it all up, you know?
Right.
So he would be really, he'd hit the topics, he'd be really funny, and he'd be out. Right? On the opposite end, Lisa Lampanelli, you always have the really strong person at the end because, not because they're a headliner, because they're so fucking good. It doesn't matter that everyone's covered the same fucking jokes 500 times. They are just going to clean up, right?
Yeah.
And so it actually is, unlike a regular comedy show, it's really hard to go at the end because all the jokes have been done and very easy to go first. Because you have first crack at all the jokes. Jokes about Michelle, jokes about Santino, jokes about everyone there. You get the first crack. You know? It's almost like being the first. You know, think about a gangbang. Uh-huh. It really is. You want to be the first guy in a gangbang. You don't want to be the last guy. And it's the same thing. The roast is more like a gangbang.
I want to be the main guy in a gangbang.
Well, that's why this summer we're going to have the roast of Taylor Latte Boy. What was the other thing you're going to talk about, Taylor?
Just the editing. The shady editing between when Michelle was talking to Coco of Alyssa eating the cookies off by herself at the wall and just this really unflattering way she was sitting and the look on her face. It just was very funny that they kept panning back to Alyssa eating these cookies. And I got a good chuckle out of that.
Why was Alyssa eating the cookies?
I don't know. I guess she had figured she'd already eaten. Oh my God, it's just too funny. I need to take a break. So she decided to carbo load or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Very good. On the main stage, the girls each get a chance to get some time with comedians Bruce Valanche, Devin Green, and Nadia Ginsberg. Whatever happened to Nadia Ginsburg, by the way? Jinx stumbled over her words. Ivy needs to go deeper. Alaska confuses the coaches with her drag terms. Coco makes the judges laugh. Alyssa reads Santino. And Roxy bursts into tears after being told she's not funny. Your thoughts on the writing workshop, Taylor?
Devin Green is terrifying looking.
I think so, too. And you know what's so funny is friend of the show, Shannon, is friendly with her and knows her. And I had forgotten that until I saw her. And I was like, I wonder if Shannon thinks she... I've never talked about that with her. So I wonder what she thinks of her. I know she really likes her.
Yeah. I mean, the videos, the Welcome to My Home videos that they talk about, that Jinx talks about, mm-hmm. are some of the very first things that when we started with podcasting, that was kind of one of the first sources of like quotes that we would say to each other in the very first episodes of Pod as My Co-Pilot.
Oh, really?
Because it's have you ever seen those?
No.
I'm sure you've seen those videos. Oh my God. They're so funny. You almost can't find them now because the woman who she's making fun of keeps suing to have them taken down.
Oh, it's based on a real person?
It's what she's done is she's found a video from the 80s of a soap actress, Janice Dickinson. Okay. It's not Janice Dickinson, mm-hmm. but it's, and she was on Young and the Restless.
Okay.
And she does a video for people where she explains how she leads this wonderful lifestyle. And it's super cheesy, like Lifestyle of the Rich and Famous, and it's clearly home produced and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And what Devin Green does is Devin Green overlays her voice where she's pretending to say things for this woman. And she's crazy. She just says all of these ridiculous out of nowhere things that are lots of double entendre, lots of things like that, they're just very, very funny. For those of you in the Discord, Humble Pie just added a link to the YouTube video for it. And she did a couple of them, but the very first one, Welcome to My Home, is the most funny of all of them. She did one where like Donna Mills did a video and she did the same thing with that. And she does it in this very over enunciated kind of New England type voice mm-hmm. on top of it. They're very, very funny. I don't know anything about Nadia Ginsburg.
I looked her up. She was a writer, and this time has made sense. She was a writer on Fashion Police.
Okay. Well, yeah, then that does make sense. Okay. And Bruce Valanche.
I told you, if I go to something in West Hollywood, like a play or something, I'll see him there.
Uh-huh.
This episode actually kind of captured it. Frightening looking in real life.
Oh, yeah, no. Watching this in HD was terrifying.
Yeah.
Between him and Devin Green in particular. It's very Monsters, Inc.
Yeah. All right. But you know what's so funny is talking about the choppy editing is this is edited so roughly and so choppy. And it's I don't even believe anything I saw was true. So I don't even really have that many comments because I don't know what I saw.
Well, and the one thing that I said was she told one – I don't remember which of the queens it was, but she told one of the – Devin Green in particular says – or maybe it was Bruce and Devin – says at one point, one of them tells one queen, well, you have to be – you can't be vicious. Don't be vicious. And then the next one comes out and they're like, well, you have to be vicious. They tell two girls completely different things.
That's why I don't blame them because these people – I mean, I will say Bruce Valanche is a veteran joke writer. I mean, that's one thing you can't take away from. I don't know anything about this Nadia Ginsburg. But Shannon seems to be very – my friend Shannon seems to be very fond of Devin Green, and Shannon's very funny. So these people know their shit. I just don't I don't trust the editing. I don't know what we saw and what they saw.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's – it's the whole thing is just – it feels like they're almost they're setting them up to fuck with their heads, as we saw with Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
Roxy was very much of the where she walked out of there and she was shook.
Yeah. Okay, everyone, we are back. You don't know this. I had to go pee, right? And when I came back, I just saw a bag here. I don't know if Taylor can see this.
Yep.
That reminded me of something. And I just, you know, I have a friend from out of town named Carlo. And
we talked about for the first couple of minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
And my friend John Paul works at the Disney Studios in Burbank, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so what part of the – I took Carlo to the Walt Disney Studios, and they have a Disney store, but it's like a Disney Studio Family Mall, right? But then in the back, there's something called the Studio Store. And it's stuff that you can only get at the studio. And this specifically, I happen to know for a fact, you cannot get this outside of the studio.
That's where you got my Fervus a couple of years ago.
The fake Turbis. Yeah.
Yes.
That Daniel Brewer said you would love and then you hated it.
I know that is not what happened. Daniel Brewer said you should get it for me, and then you did because Taylor loves Turbises, and then after you bought it and walked out, he looked at you and went, "Well, you know that's not a Turbis, right?"
Oh, that's right, yeah. But so I saw this and I immediately thought of you because it is. They don't sell this anywhere else.
Okay.
But then I didn't know. The problem is they had t-shirts of this and then they have a hoodie.
Okay.
But the t-shirts aren't as cool as the hoodies aren't as cool as the t-shirts, I think.
Okay.
And also, like, that's why I asked you your size the other day.
Right. Told me I have to get skinny.
Well, yeah, because. So anyway, there's a little Yoda on the sleeve. I don't know if you see this.
Oh, cute. Okay.
But what it does say on the other side. And they don't sell Lucasfilm stuff like this outside of the
studio.
Joe. What?
That's awesome.
Oh, do you want it? I'll send it to you. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Thank you. What size is it?
I don't know if I want to say that on the. I'll text it to you.
Is it bigger than a bread box?
Yes.
It's medium. That's the part
it's,
of it.
It's child's.
Oh, you know what? I don't have. Oh, wait a second. I have my iPad in here, so it'll come up.
So, yeah.
Perfect. So perfect. That is a perfect size.
Okay. So, I will send this to you. I didn't know because I was like, so Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much. That is awesome.
From Afterthought Media. Thank you for everything you do for us. And then this, the little Yoda on the sleeve. The t-shirts say that, but they only had, the t-shirts, I think the biggest they went was large, I think.
And I was like, okay, no, that wouldn't work.
But
no one needs
cool
to see me in a Lucasfilm crop top.
But the t-shirt has this big across the t-shirt.
I like that. I like that. And I like that. I love the fact that the Yoda's on the sleeve. You said,
yeah, it's on the right sleeve.
Oh, that's so cool! Thank you. That is really, really. I really do like that.
You're welcome. All right, back
do
to
I
the show.
Do I have to get you something now?
No. Okay, man. Because I know I'll get some sort of I don't know what you would get me, and have to throw it away, and we feel badly. All right.
I will overnight ship you a burger with blueberry.
No, please don't.
Blueberry jam and the brie on it.
All right. It's elimination day, and good-natured Ribby from Coco to Jinx turns nasty when Roxy enters the fray, setting the stage for episodes to come. I figured you'd have a lot to say. That's why I said I'm going to go pee now, because this bitch is going to have a lot to say here.
Well, okay. I didn't write a whole lot, but a couple of things stood out. One, it felt clearly like Roxy came for Jinx because she was deflecting from the previous day of being told that she's not funny. And then it sounds like she was nervous going into the presentation, which is a very common thing for people to do when they realize that they're screwed. They try to turn the attention on somebody else. Yeah. We've seen other queens do this throughout the series. We've seen it this season with Alyssa. When Alyssa wasn't necessarily feeling at the top of her game, she would tend to deflect often towards Coco, which we see that a little bit, it sounds like, in Untucked.
Yes.
Which we'll talk about.
But I feel that they're both wrong. At first, I'm on Coco's side in Untucked. And I'm like, well, that's because they're both shitty.
Yeah. That's same.
Yeah.
Same, definitely. So, but I think the thing with this was you're seeing – when they're talking about things, they're both kind of in the right, but they're both in the wrong. And the reason why I say that is if you go back and you watch this disagreement, they are using something that a communication style that I talk about a lot in treatment with clients. And that is using when you're fighting with somebody, you never start statements with you. Mm-hmm. You start statements with I. You do what we call I statements. So if I was mad at you for something. Give me an example of something I'd be mad at you for.
Talking shit about a person on Pride 48 on the Pride 48 stream.
Okay. So.
I don't know if that will ever happen. But if
that would never happen.
If it did, I think you would get very upset.
And you and I would never have had words about it while I was driving to a hair appointment.
Yeah, and so, if I feel there were no I statements in that one.
No, there were I statements
in that one. Like, I quit.
No, I never said I quit. I think I threatened to quit if it continued, but that's neither here nor there. In saying that, if I came to you when we were talking about that on the phone and said to you, you need to knock that off because it's pissing me off and blah, 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 this sort of stuff versus the way that I said it, where I said, I was so mad when you did. And I came from the place of where I was talking about my feelings versus your, I was talking about my feelings about your actions versus going directly toward your actions. It makes it a little bit more palatable and versus the you statement, because if I start accusing you of something that you feel as though you may or may not have been justified in doing, your defenses are immediately going to go up. And whereas if I sit, come to you saying something along the lines of, you know, I feel this way because of this, it's it, you're a little bit more receptive to it 9 times out of 10. And it also, it's a lot harder to argue with my feelings. You know, you're not Michelle Visage telling me that, you know, no, that's not how you feel. You know, you can't say, you know, you don't feel that way. You, no, this is what's going on. Now you can say, I disagree. This is the reason I was doing X, Y, and Z. And it feels like with this argument between the two of them, it feels like Jinx starts off making I statements. Well, I feel this. I am going through this. I'm doing this. And Roxy initially is doing the you statements, but then Roxy turns it around and goes, well, I just feel that way, girl. There's nothing I can, and kind of shuts everything down in that way. So it was a very interesting dynamic to watch the two of them talk this through. I wasn't really talking. It was just kind of an argument. It was sort of this, it kind of almost ended with a agree to disagree sort of thing. But I think in this regards, now again, we sort of learn things later on. It felt like Roxy was somehow punching up because she already felt down.
All right. Very good. I mean, I only looked at it because I know what happens. This is not like a regular season. I'm like, okay, we're just setting the stage from an editing perspective. I wasn't looking at it the same way you were looking at it. But from what you were saying earlier, to sort of branch off of that, what you were saying reminded me a lot of, I know we all think of Marianne Williamson as a crazy person. Okay. And I do too. But in talking about The Course in Miracles and all that stuff, one of the things that, you know, a common axiom in The Course in Miracles is, in my defenselessness, my safety lies. So that when you have a problem with somebody, you basically do I statements. You don't come at them because then that makes them put their defenses up. But if you make yourself vulnerable, it's hard. Not that it's impossible, but it's difficult. People don't like to hurt someone while they're down. So if you talk about how vulnerable you are, you could open up a dialogue that leads to a conversation. But anyway, the visual I want to get to, because Marianne has said this 1,000 times, it's almost like every time I see her lecture, she says this one point, but I think it's a good point, which is a good example, is whenever you see a statue of Jesus, right, he's always with his arms out from his sides with the palms out. In other words, showing his vulnerability. You never see one of Jesus with like his fists up, ready to confront.
No.
It's always, you know, arms out, making open. Himself open.
For open to embrace you.
Open to embrace you, or open to hurt him, you know?
Yeah.
And it's in that vulnerability. And so that, like, when you approach a conflict, it's better to come from it from that perspective rather than when your fists up ready to fight. And then you're going to get to more valuable place. Once again, look, Marianne Williamson is a crazy person, and I think people should stay in their lane. She's good talking about this stuff. I don't know if she's good talking about NAFTA. Okay.
I was gonna say presidential policies.
Yeah, exactly. All right. The roast of RuPaul. Alaska performed well, but Roxy followed and seemed to struggle. Next, Coco brought the house down with her characterization of a relative of RuPaul. Jinx killed, Ivy died, and Detox dropped some F-bombs, but it was Alyssa Edwards who stunk up the whole room with her terrible performance.
I thought I had auditioned for RuPaul's next...
See, I'm going to stop right there for a couple of reasons. One, I'm going to stop several times on this performance because it's 2 minutes. No, it's a minute long. But two, they've added these sound things.
Okay,
in.
I wrote that down. Did they add the mic noises?
Yes.
Which is just shady.
Yeah. And so I could do this on Audacity, and maybe if I'm feeling ambitious enough, I will do it at some point to my voice. Like Taylor, maybe there's a chance I'm going to change this so it sounds like Melissa on the thing, but you know, you could easily do it with any sort of very simple sound editing software. By the way, there's a chance I didn't do this. Okay. I'm actually, okay. But anyways, continue on.
Right.
Drag queen of the year. Little did I know I was walking into the largest cross-dressing convention of all time. But this is about you, Mother Rue.
Alyssa makes those kind of jokes a lot about cross-dressing and stuff. I feel that was part of the "Can I get an amen?" She finds that very funny that it's men dresses women, which I can understand the joke. It's a very old-school drag kind of joke. Any thoughts so far?
It's horrible.
Yeah.
From the cracked out nights in the bathroom or the cracking of your voice at every live performance. This was the best bunch of people you could get to come judge. Can I get a gay man?
See, that's a weird edit. I'm sure that bombed.
Santino Rice, what the hell you know about winning something? But you and Coco Montrese do share something in common, okay? And that's not only your foolish wardrobe, but being a runner-up.
See, there's a weird editing there, and I feel there's a lot of weird editing. Can I get a gay man? I feel the joke that we heard earlier did okay. It could be nervous, uncomfortable laughter.
Bitter. Just get better.
Well, she says a lot. And then they add the microphone feedback, by the way, which happened at the perfect moment, and has happened before at perfect moments. It sounds so artificial.
I thank you and good night.
All right. Your thoughts on the roast, particularly Alyssa's, but any other roast that you can think of, Taylor?
I thought Alaska's was the best. I thought, especially considering that, you know, they, and maybe that was sort of that editing of expecting her to fail. Mm-hmm. I honestly, but, you know, I know that Coco won. I thought Jinx did better than her, and I thought Detox did better than her. I mean, Detox was dropping F-bombs all over the place.
Yeah.
But that also seemed, I will say this, that seems very genuine to Detox is. I think Detox has no problems just dropping F-bombs left and right. So while there may have been some nervousness there, I feel like hers was probably the most of she kind of put herself out there versus some of the other queens who felt like they were reading a script. You're looking at me like you disagree.
Well, no. It's not disagreeing. I it's more like the look you're getting is more like I'm wondering now if there was because the look she has is more like a desperation. Like I better cut some like she's editing her jokes or her set on the spot. And so she doesn't know where to go. So I'm almost wondering if the producers told her in the middle of her set, like, hey, you got to cut some time or something. Because it seems like, why is she not everybody else knew how long their set was and where they're going to go. And she's sort of confused. But it is – they were right in the judges panel that often you'll see, especially people who aren't new to comedy, they'll start cussing just because they're uncomfortable.
Yeah. But I thought that everybody was either an A – a B. There were no C's. There was nobody in the middle for me. I thought Ivy was a D. Yeah. I gave Ivy a D plus.
Which I even feel that they edited Ivy in a positive way. I feel it was worse in the way they edited it.
Yeah. Well, but that's they weren't ready to send her home yet.
Yeah, because I think they had to do that. They had to sweeten it a little bit so you're not like, wait, why wasn't she in the bottom two?
Right.
You know.
And Roxy was horrible too.
Yeah, she's not good at comedy. All right, on the main stage, Jeffrey Moran. Oh, can we talk about Jeffrey Moran? I hate this guy. Is he on season 6? I can't remember. Is this the last time we see him?
He might be on season 6. But that's definitely, we don't see him after that.
Billy B and this guy. Is that what his name was? Bob? Billy B?
Billy B, the makeup artist.
Yeah. Anyway, Jeffrey Moran and Leslie Jordan all joined RuPaul and the other judges as they critiqued the girls. After the judges deliberated, RuPaul brought back her girls and named Coco as the winner of the challenge. Later, she placed Roxy and Alyssa in the bottom two, forcing them into a lip-sync battle for their lives. The song, Whip My Hair by Willow Smith. Both girls gave it their all, with Roxy making RuPaul history as the first queen to remove a wig while revealing another wig, and thereby eliciting a gasp from RuPaul. After the song was finished, and before RuPaul could deliver her decision, Roxy Andrews was here to make it clear.
Hi, ladies. Sorry.
Are you okay?
Okay, I'm going to stop right here for a second. We're going to talk about Untucked in a bit. But when we do, I want you to know that in Untucked, Roxy reveals what we later see on the main stage.
Right.
I am almost feel like, remember in the old timey movies when there would be like a decision coming guilty and all the reporters would run out and go to the phones?
Yeah.
I feel that was the producers running to the main stage to tell RuPaul that this just happened. And so that RuPaul is prepared for it.
Okay. I hadn't necessarily thought of it that way.
I almost wonder if it would have been Ivy versus Alyssa.
Oh, if it had been Ivy versus Alyssa. Well, but I almost think that they knew if it was going to be Ivy versus Alyssa, Ivy would have got sent home. Alyssa at this point is known for being a dancer, is known for being bombastic, and Ivy's known for being nice. Ivy's not necessarily known for turning it out. Mm-hmm. So I almost feel like in that regards, they had to go with the two of them for this. I was more concerned when watching this about watching the bottom half of Rue's dress get tighter as she was getting a bigger erection.
Oh, my God, yeah.
She looks so excited to talk about this.
Yeah, you know what? You're just giving me an idea. Okay, wait, hold on for a second. Yeah, because RuPaul loves this shit. There's nothing she loves more than people like admitting things on the yeah. All right, here we go.
The Blair St. Clair from her season.
All right, we're gonna play this now right here. Here we go.
So many emotions.
What's going on?
Nothing. Go ahead.
No, tell me about it.
It just hit me and like not feeling wanted and not being good enough. I just feel like my mom never wanted me and my mother left my sister and myself at a bus stop when I was 3. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And like I come off as this strong character. I try to stay so strong, but I'm so weak.
Oh, yeah. This is RuPaul's internal dialogue.
Oh, yeah. Keep going. It just hurts that I was left. Nobody cared.
We love you. And you are so welcome here. You know, we as gay people, we get to choose our family. You know, we get to choose the people that we're around. You know what I'm saying? I am your family.
Now, what's your name?
We are a family here.
Meanwhile, Michelle looks very uncomfortable.
I love you.
Eating it out of the table.
I love you.
Okay, but the thing about that is when she says, you know, we as gay people get to choose our family, that has nothing to do with the scenario that she's talking about.
Let me see if I can interpret it here. I think what she's saying is, fuck your mom. You don't need her. You have a family here.
Right. But then it goes to a place of where it goes from where, you know, her voice is cracking and then she's like,
oh, it's awful. I'm your family. It's awful. It's awful. It's awful. Yeah. It's awful.
It just, it makes me mad. It's the worst fake acting
I've ever heard in my entire life. All right, here we go.
Yeah. All right. I've made my decision. What you two did on this runway is the passion I am looking for.
Oh, my God.
Shantae, you both stay.
Oh, my God.
I'm your new mom. You'll always be my baby.
All right, after the song was finished... Oh, I did do that already. Taylor the Latte Boy, any final thoughts on the episode? We'll talk about Untucked in a second, but any final thoughts on the episode?
Do you think that when Roxy was having her meltdown, Alyssa was thinking to herself, oh, shit, I'm going home?
I wonder, yeah. I wonder.
Because, you know, that's the type of shit, as we've talked about, that RuPaul lives for.
She lives for it.
And Alyssa, because honestly, as everybody talks about this as, you know, a double Shantae, that was the reason there was a double Shantae. This is a horrible lip sync.
Oh, well, no, but also they did a double sachet. With Honey. Yeah, they did a double sachet with Honey and Vivian Panay.
Well, they did. They sent them home.
Yeah, they both. Yeah, so she had to do a double Shantae to make up the number.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, so they didn't run out of. Okay. But, I mean, as far as – it wasn't necessarily because anybody really wowed it. I mean, if anything, Alyssa I don't get the whole, I don't get Alyssa's dance style while everybody thinks Alyssa just kind of flops around like a fish out of water.
I agree. I agree with you.
At one point where she's kind of doing this thing where she's got her hand up and she's laying down and she's not even like whipping her hair. She's just kind of shaking her head.
Yeah.
She looks like she's having convulsions and Roxy just kind of stomping with flipping her hair. It was not good. So I think that Roxy kind of saved both of their asses with that.
Mm-hmm.
I also noticed that now it feels like we know going in now when they start playing the organ music, the pipe organ music, that it's going to be a double chanté.
Mm-hmm. Or someone's coming back to the competition.
Yeah, or something like that. That's now the big dramatic moment. Mm-hmm. So that's all the notes I have on this episode.
Okay, so let's
great episode.
Great episode. Fantastic. Epic episode. Iconic episode. One of the best ever. Let's talk about this Untucked.
All right.
So, I mean, we're running out of time.
I have to go in a few minutes.
But we covered a lot of what we wanted to cover on Untucked. But in the Untucked, let's talk first. Alyssa and Coco sort of have it out. Coco is pissed off because we find out that Alyssa and Coco had made a sort of handshake agreement not to bring up the pageant stuff. So that Coco abided by that, but then Alyssa made a joke about Santino and Coco being both runners-up. Right. What do you think of that, Taylor?
I think in that regards, if we're not going to talk about pageants and Alyssa brought it up, Alyssa was in the wrong.
Yeah, but it seemed like the girls were siding with Alyssa. It was sort of weird.
Well, something happened at the end of the conversation where Alyssa started to say something and they show like an Untucked exclusive.
Yeah.
Where she starts to make a comment at Alyssa Edwards and then stops it. And Alyssa chose to just keep going with hers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where that was. The part of that I think is so great about this back and forth is, and I find it interesting that they didn't incorporate this into the larger narrative of the show,
mm-hmm.
was Roxy's statement of, I just wish at this point one of the two of you would go home.
Well, this is an episode that I was thinking, this is kind of why Untucked, as they've done with All Stars and Drag Race UK, needs to be in the context of the show.
I've said that forever, and you and Daniel and I had a conversation about this, and you both shot it down, and now I am seeing that vindication. Thank you. I'm sorry. That had nothing to do with what you were saying, but I just wanted stated to go back and listen to old episodes. I brought this up.
What did you say again? What was it? Start the beginning of what you said earlier.
You and Daniel.
Oh, what did you say? Say that again.
You and Daniel. And I made a you statement. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'll return my master's degree on the way out.
Okay.
I'll put it in the shredder. So, that wasn't an accusatory. That was just a fact, mm-hmm. that I agree that I think at this point, if we're going to watch 2 hours of a program, mm-hmm. at this point, the way they do the 90 minutes plus the half an hour for Drag Race and Untucked, mm-hmm. it should just be folded in. I think that worked really well with Drag Race UK. You know, plus it also kind of boils it down to the main. It's not that whole, you know, go and look at the pink box and all that, mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
But I think also you've got where this scene, this particular almost like intervention of the other queens saying to Alyssa and Coco, we're going to start calling you in this because we're all sick of it and it makes it uncomfortable for the rest of us and we're done,
mm-hmm.
should have been part of the larger show. It should have been, because it kind of puts a cap on the end of that. Whereas this really kind of, I mean, at this point of it, kind of ends with Alyssa kind of getting in the last word, because Alyssa decides to make the snarky comment when she's standing up on the dais.
Yeah, but then that's why I said they're both. At first, I was on Coco's side, but then we later learn Coco. Because then Alyssa goes, "I never said you were runner up. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the pageant." You're like, "Oh, bitch, come on, right?"
Yeah.
But the same thing, Coco does the same thing where she makes a joke about Alyssa. And Alyssa calls her, which actually was a fine joke to make, you know, and then Coco's like, I never said that. And you're like, you said that. Just own it. And you're still in the right if you just own it. I don't remember what the joke was. What was the joke?
I think she started to say a joke and Alyssa cut her off.
I don't remember what the joke was. Anyway, and then next we go into the gold bar. And in the gold bar, we see photos of them when they were babies. And everyone's like, and then Jinx starts extemporaneously going on and on about her relationship with her mom and how she, you know, has an alcoholic mother and she left the house and she feels this guilt because she left her brother there. And then that starts a conversation about Roxy. That's when everybody learns about being left at the bus stop.
And talks about it in a very not matter of fact way, but this is something that happened to me. And
it's in context of what they're talking about.
Yes,
it's totally in context.
And it's, you know, this also doesn't feel, you know, the one thing that stays with me about that is she gives more detail. She talks about, I remember the colors of the buses. Yeah. I remember all the different things, you know, all of that kind of stuff, which at three kind of speaks to the trauma that she went through. I mean, obviously that's a traumatic experience. You wouldn't want anybody to go through that, but it's interesting to hear that and then recognize that within the course of maybe an hour later, by the time they got set up, she was then performing for her life while she still had all of these thoughts and all of these images running through her head. It makes sense that she had a breakdown on the stage.
It gives the context of what we see later. It's super important. I think it needs to be folded into the regular show. Next, then they split the girls up for a reason that maybe I didn't pay attention, but for a reason I don't understand, they split the girls up.
They didn't give a reason. Just after the commercial, half of them were in one room, half of them in the other room.
And they split the girls up, and then what you see is Roxy has a conversation with Alyssa and Coco, pretty much, and Coco joins in. I don't know if Alyssa really joins in that much. She kind of does, but she sort of mostly stays out of it. Pretty much just about how Roxy's getting sick of Jinx's shit, that Jinx pretends to sort of be like this underdog when everybody knows she's a front runner, could easily win the competition. She's just sort of sick of hearing Jinx pretend like she doesn't understand why she like that. In other words, that she feels like no one likes her.
Yeah.
And did this give you? Because I know Taylor, you've said that you don't like that Roxy sounds like a bully. Did this give you any more insight or anything? Or
I guess it does to some degree. I still think that later on it gets harder to not see Roxy as a bully. Because I feel like it is sort of, you know, Roxy has talked about the fact that she wanted it so bad and she wasn't feeling like she was starting to see it slip from her fingers, the idea of becoming the winner of the season. And she was seeing Jinx starting to do better and better, so she was feeling very threatened, and that's why she was doing that. You know, whether or not Jinx was kind of getting that edit of, you know, the way we described it earlier in this episode was similar to the way that other queens from season six talked about Dayla and how Dayla was one way when the cameras were on and a completely different way when the cameras were off.
Yeah.
So
both Seattle queens, by the way.
Yeah, but both Seattle, that's a really good point. Both Seattle queens. So I don't know. It definitely kind of paints a picture. I also am seeing the show 6 years out, having done this show with you and talking about editing and talking about narratives and talking about storylines. Back when this was on, I was just watching it. I want to say this was a season I watched with my friends, my best friend's daughter, who was like 11 or 12. And it's easy to get kind of talking, you know, seeing it through her eyes versus seeing it through my eyes and talking about things in that way. So it's easy to get swayed by the narrative, swayed by the edit.
Yeah.
You know,
you
definitely see it where Jinx plays into that whole, well, I'm just a little girl drag queen who's just trying to do her best. And it's easy to want to root for her, especially when you've got somebody like Roxy who is, it looks like she's punching down when in actuality she's punching up.
Yeah. Completely agree. I could go on and on about this, but I actually do have to go out to get to a meeting. That's going to do it for this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to join us next week and every week as we continue to discuss, dissect, and deconstruct every episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 5. So, for Taylor the Latte Boy and myself,
sashay away until next week.
Thank you for listening to RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? Email us at dragracerecap@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Drag Race Recap. If you want access to more content, support us on Patreon at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. You can follow Taylor the Latte Boy on Twitter and Instagram at PIMCTaylor. You can follow Lori Roggenkamp on Instagram at PickleMyth. Follow Joe Batance on Twitter and Instagram at Joe Batance. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media podcast. This podcast was made possible by the following exclusive tier Patreon supporters: AJ Norris, April Pacheco, Astute Girl, Brad Coley, Bree Weiss, Calm and Cool, Coco San Pedro, D-Man, Dean Barney UK, Devin McKay, Diana Sklans, Doofus Maximus, Haley Sklans, Humble Pie, J. Thomas Plank, Jeffrey Thunderbear, Jesse Harris, Jesse Lozano, Jimmy Kielbasa, John J., Jordan Darling, Katie Whitmire, Lauren Eckert, Luke Stamen, Melissa Payton, Nicholas Alexander Springham, Nikki Baker, Parker Elliott, Pedro SF, Rachel J., Robert NYC, Sandy Ramirez Ruiz, Scott Sorensen, Sir Matt Smith, Travis Potter, Yaz Waz, and Eve Adams. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring the show. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/dragrace.